Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest podcast in our current teaching series, Find Us Faithful.
Father, it is so good to be here. With my family. Thank you that we are that and so much more in you. It is my prayer, Lord, that you would be here with us in a very real way, Father, that as we continue to talk about being faithful to you and what we can give and how we can do that, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to ways we can do that. Father, I give this all to you. We give this all to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God. We love you. Amen. So we are wrapping up series Find Us Faithful on Christian Stewardship and Service. This is part 5. Dave will be back with us next week to start with Jesus 3D. He is on vacation. I think he was up somewhere in the North Shore, parts unknown, with family. And I'm sure he's very relaxed and probably not thinking about me at all, which is fine. But, man, it has been a whirlwind, and I'm going to catch you up on the life of J.J. Miller because I hold this clicker, and that means I have the power. So, June 17th, which was Father's Day, we left for 11th and 12th grade camp up at Pine Haven, which was a lot of fun. Were there a week? Got back the Saturday afterwards, was here on church Sunday. Monday morning, Natasha, my wife, and myself. Not Natasha, my wife, and myself, but Natasha, comma, my wife. That would be her. We went on vacation to up to Thunder Bay, which is in Canada, which is not a part of this country. And we spent a week there. Got back Saturday, church Sunday. Monday, Tuesday in the office, fourth was Wednesday, and then was off the rest of the week. Last Sunday, right after Wellspring service, we, those who are in blue shirts and a couple others, about 22 of us, got in a van and drove to Balsam Lake, Wisconsin. I've been at TeenServe for the last week. So in 4 weeks, I've been in the office 2 days, which is crazy to think about. And I don't say that for you to feel bad about it. I just wanted to tell you what was going on because I thought you'd care. But again, the last week of Find Us Faithful, and this is talking about youth or students becoming cheerful givers and what that looks like and what that means. But in order to do that, I think it's only fair if you understand a little bit about TeenServe and where I've been and why this all applies. And you guys didn't know I was going to do this, but those of you in our Get Up and Go blue shirts, can you just stand up and turn around and wave and say, hi? And Puma Sue is in the back corner over there. She was also one of those. Yes, Puma Sue would be her name. And if you want to know why, ask Carly Howells. But this is, I think, the third year that we have been a part of TeenServe. And, you know, being on staff, I hear a lot of great things. I get to hear some of the stories. But, you know, there's something to be said about the group who goes and who's experienced it that can't really explain to anybody else what has happened. It's like you almost had to be there. They are forever linked and bonded together by what they did, just as any group who goes anywhere is. And it's my job to try and get you to explain a little bit about what it was. And I had heard things, but I didn't really have a complete understanding of what TeenServe was either. The only thing I knew when I got back from vacation was that I owed them a bunch of forms still, and we were trying to figure all that out. But we left, and I think it'll be good for you to understand exactly what the week looked like for these kids, and we'll go from there, and it'll all tie together at the end, hopefully. The theme for the week was get up and go into all the world and preach the good news is where that came from. And these kids certainly did do that in a lot of different ways. But we got there Sunday, around what, like 2 o'clock, guys? And this is what we call the before picture, because we were all happy and liked each other and hadn't been sleeping in classrooms. We'd all had a good shower that morning, and we still liked each other at the end, though we smelled slightly worse, I think. And we were welcomed like I never thought we would be welcomed. Staff did a great job of making sure we were taken care of, and we slept in classrooms all week. That was just part of what we did. And this is the first time I've ever not gotten in trouble for sleeping in class, which was pretty fantastic. And we went right at it that night with learning our crews and what we were going to do and who we were going to be a part of. And then the interesting thing about TeenServe and what they do is that the crews consist of people from all over, I mean, the states really, but for this specific camp, all over the Midwest. And nobody that I know of from Valley was in a crew with another Valley person. Everybody that is in a crew doesn't know each other from the start. I mean, my crew, I had one from Ohio. I guess I'm from Minnesota now, which is kind of weird to say. I don't really like that, but I'll get over it. Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan. That all just thrown together, and we have to figure out how to make it work. And it was that way for everybody, which immediately takes people out of their comfort zones. They have, you know, they don't really have a clue who they're with. They're learning. They're growing together. And it's kind of a neat way to do it. What a great way to start off. And we learn who we're going to be helping, what we're going to be doing, and we kick off with program that night. Every morning at 6:30 a.m., your students got up to get ready to go to work. 6:30 a.m. I don't get up at 6:30 a.m. Maybe that's more of an accomplishment. I'm up way after 6:30 a.m. But that was a pretty significant thing. And it starts off with the most annoying wake-up show you will ever hear in your entire life. Does it not? Good morning, TeenServe campers! This is about how it starts. That was easy McMuffin. By the end of it, I was a part of it, though. So it grew, apparently. You get up, we'd have breakfast. By 8 o'clock, we were gone, getting to our work sites. Eat lunch there, work all day, do devotions together. In between 3 and 4, pack up, go back, eat dinner, shower, get ready for an evening program with worship and the speaker. And that was it. That was our day. And we did that every day through Friday. And then Saturday, obviously, we came home. And it was a really, really interesting experience. Far more than I expected. I really didn't have a clue. I went in there kind of just wondering. Some of the kids had done it before. But it exceeded my expectations of what I thought it would be in a really great way. These are, just as you're seeing here, some of the crews. And in a lot of these pictures, the residents are there with them. Several of these homes, you know, for different reasons, these people, either because of their age, they can't afford to do the work they'd like to have done, or, you know, because of their financial means, they can't take care of it, or whatever it might be, disability. These people need help. And we worked through Habitat for Humanity this past week. They took care of getting the site set up and what we needed, and Valspar donates a ton of paint, and all these different things come into play to make this happen. It's really well organized and really well done. But TeenServe is so, they push so much making sure that the residents are involved in what's going on, that they're involved in your lives and that we're involved in theirs. And I can say that that happened at a lot of the sites. You know, some of them, the residents joined for devotions. Their kids who were around, some of the residents helped. They got out their paintbrushes and ladders and said, I'll paint what I can and just do what I can. And we're there the whole time with them. And you'll recognize, you know, somebody from Valley in each of these. But like I said, you'll only see one because that's all that was a part of that crew. And just some of the different people that we got to hang out with and be a part of and just love on and have them love on us. Our resident made us lunch one day. I know that happened a lot of places. I think Carly Howell's got KFC one day and all sorts of stuff. Like, they were, it was pretty cool. And that was my crew. Gordon is the gentleman above me. We had a very interesting time, which you'll hear about later. His wife, Betty, was there, and their adult son, Jim. And I have a really great story about him, which I won't share from the pulpit just because I don't think I should. But if you want to know about it, I'll happily tell you after service. Let's just say I get stereotyped a lot, and that happened there. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. And that picture got in there twice, but there they are, Carly. I put this picture in there because Carly couldn't stop, like, gushing about these two. They're in their 90s, right? Like, 93? Or, what, 89 or 90 or whatever? They have been married 70 years, which is incredible in and of itself. But the greatest thing was, every time Carly told us about them, she would say, and they're so in love. And she, every night as a part of the program, we got to do what we called crew stories, where crews could get up and share something that happened, something that was very special to them. And Carly's crew got up one night. And Carly has changed a lot since I knew her in eighth grade. Like, she used to be super quiet, and I could barely get her to say hello to me. And now she's not quiet. She is at times, but you could just see her as this dude was talking about what was happening, like, just like this, ready to, like, pounce. I don't know why. And he got done speaking. She's like, no, that wasn't good enough. And she grabbed the mic from the MC and is like, you don't understand how incredible these people are, and they're so in love. And she's just gushing. And but that's just the impact some of these residents had on the kids, and that's just one example, but I know there were a lot of others where that were that way. And I don't know what it is about Nick Madsen. You know, you could change the background to the atrium at Valley Christian Church, and it's the same thing. I mean, do you pay these kids, or do you have somewhere tattooed on you? Does it say, jump on me? But I don't think he got any work done, because this is what was going on all week. that's just, again, the bond that you get to share with the residents and how appreciative they are, and the friendships that grow out of it is really, really special. And this is always so, this is always such an interesting thing, because you know, you talk to some people when it comes to mission trips or what that's like, and I don't know if any of the Romania people are here. I know Bria was earlier, but she had jet lag, and there's no such thing as van lag, so that's why we're here, but understandably for her. But you go on these trips, and you'll hear people say things like, no, it's not for you. It's for who you're going to. That's the important part. You're there to minister. You're there to give of yourself. And then there's others, you know, who on the other side are like, well, you know, I don't know, you get a lot out of that, get a lot out of it too. You're really giving and growing and serving and understanding who you are in Christ. And I'm happily able to sit on the fence on that and go, why can't it be for both? And just as much as it was for the residents, it was for these students and myself and everyone who got to be a part of it. One of the things I love the most about teen serve is actually not something that I said. There's a certain window who will know this name, and I think most of the students here are below that window. There's some who are above. Phil Joel is his name, and for 13 years, he was the bass player for the Newsboys, and for me, that was like, oh, hi. I grew up during that time, and I was totally starstruck by the fact that Phil Joel was there, and I'm pretty sure any student who saw me was like, why are you acting like such a girl about this? But it's not like the dude from Owl City. It's Phil Joel. And I'm like, but like, there were two cassettes. The first two cassettes I ever owned were DC Talk New Thing and Newsboys Not Ashamed, which was actually before Phil joined the band, but you get the point. Like, one of the three biggest names in Christian music in the 90s. And here's the bass player. And I was like, hi, Phil. so good to meet you. You touched me. But he got to share a little bit about why he left the Newsboys and what it was that he was doing. And he started this really great ministry called Deliberate People, which does a lot of what actually what Dave Burkham is doing with Useful Breath and getting people to just be daily reading their Bibles. And he does a little blog and a reading plan. But he's also got something called Deliberate Kids, which is something he and his wife have done. And I was kind of looking this up last night. They have like two CDs just full of kids' songs that are all Bible verses that he's turned. They got books of the Bible, and it's all rockish and fun. So if you're looking for stuff for your kids, that's a really good option for you, or maybe for you students as well. But Phil had never really done anything with Teen Serve either. He got kind of brought on board by our speaker, Joel Johnson, who they had known for forever through conferences and festivals and things like that. And Phil used this word, and I'm going to use it because I also am a bit of a hippie. He used the word holistic when it came to what Teen Serve was. Don't take that hippie thing the wrong way, but it kind of fits my personality. the idea was that, you know, a lot of different conferences and mission things, they aim at hitting the mark with one. You know, what you're going to serve, and that's what you're there to do. You're there to paint homes or build them or do whatever. And then there's the other side, which is totally focused on one's relationship with Christ and going and making that better and stronger. And you know, you get hit with Bible all day at that stuff. And rarely in those moments is there a chance like, okay, now we get to use what we're learning. We get to go apply this like right in the middle of what we're learning. And this sits perfectly in the middle of that, where you are serving all day and giving of yourselves. And then you're coming back at night and being fed. And I think that is a pretty great way to do things. And was pretty impressed with that and the way that Jeff and Lori LaBelle led and the job they did. And they're great people. They've been doing this for like 13 years and 40-some conferences. Side note, next year one of the camps will be in Monticello. And if all works out with camp schedules and stuff, that's the one we'll be at. But they need volunteers just on a daily basis to help with things that happen there. So might be a good opportunity for Valley in the future to, it's not that far away, come and serve for a day or hang out. But now we've finally gotten here to what it means to find us faithful. How students or youth are becoming cheerful givers. And the scripture, and how fitting it is, Psalm 127, 1 through 3. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. We're going to break that down little by little here, but just for me and where I've been in the last week, I think this is a pretty great place. So looking at just verse 1, and what motivates us? Dave's talked about, you know, the last few weeks, strategies, motivations, promises, all these things that apply into giving and what that looks like. And the same was true of what happened for us. And so here we are, we're going to tie this in. With motivations, you know, it's really important to acknowledge just who is really at work. And you see that in verse 1. This Psalm of Solomon, actually, it's called a Psalm of Ascent, which means this is one that they would sing as they were going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was on a mountain, and this is just one of those that they would sing to get their minds right. But it totally acknowledges that without the help of the Lord, how much can we really get done? I mean, yeah, we might be throwing paint at a house or putting screws in the board, and that's really it if we're not acknowledging who gave us the ability to do that and the fact that he's working with us. But at times, I think, sorry, I lost my place on there. There's a lot of moments where, whether it be students or adults, will find themselves in some of these places where they don't really know what their motives were. the motivation for doing it was unclear, or maybe in some cases the motivations were completely wrong. Yet they found themselves in these situations where they need to be used by God. I think, you know, the Lord will often honor the fact that an individual still made the effort, even if their motives weren't clear, and that the Lord will make them very clear. The best example I could think of was a girl named Cortland, who the very first night I was there, I actually sat next to in the bleachers. And she had slid back so that her legs were kind of kicked up on where she should have been sitting, and she had her iPod in. And she stayed that way, I think, the whole service. And I was like, ah, great. This will be fantastic for her. You know, I had all our students on my left, and she was on my right. And I think I looked at her once and smiled, and she kind of waved. But parents, you might know this, and I'm learning this, that you can tell the attitude of a teen when it comes to stuff like this. And it was very clear that this one in particular was like, nope, not gonna do it, not gonna be a part. And by the last night, she had gotten up for our last program to just testify about what was happening in her. About 2 days later, I got to talk with her and meet her, and she had already kind of warmed up. But she acknowledged when she first got there how dirty she felt, and that it shut her off. She wasn't even sure she was going to go. As of Saturday night last week, she was not going. Some of it was financial, and some of it was just because she decided she didn't want to. And her youth leader called her up and said, you can still go. She said, well, what else am I going to do? And maybe there were more people like that who, you know, didn't really, maybe they're trying to get away from a cruddy situation at home, or just their brother and sister for a week, or they didn't have anything better to do. And so that was their motivation. And hers being like, well, whatever, may as well. Joel Johnson, the speaker, gave several different talks, and in the middle of the week was one on purity, which is always a really fun topic to tackle. But he did a great job with it. And every single one of his talks ended not just with challenges, but a reminder that there was transformation taking place, that it would continue after camp or after teen serve, and what that would be. And I don't remember ever hearing a speaker at a camp do something like that. You know, they always hit on all these things they wanted you to change and how you could come forward and do that, but never giving ideas of how you'd be able to keep that up when you got home. And that stuck with me. And by the end of the week, she got up there and she had admitted that she had a mouth like a sailor. And all week, she hadn't sworn. And she was really proud of herself for that. And I thought that was a really great thing. She also talked about how after the purity talk, she called her boyfriend. And she said, when I come home, things are different. And I talked to her later and she said, yeah, I pretty much told him that if he wasn't going to be able to handle this, that we might as well just be done now. And there's a certain look in her eyes, and there were in a lot of our students as well, where it's like, you know, you can do the camp decision thing because everybody else, but it was like, I mean this, and I'm sticking with it. And she, I think one of the things she said was, I'm just so happy now. I feel so different. And her motives weren't understood even by her, but the Lord showed her why she was supposed to be there. And that's a great thing. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Part of me on this went, I think Jesus loves me, and I didn't get nearly enough sleep when I was there. But made me kind of question how much he loved me. But you know, there's so many different strategies. They get there, or we get there, and one of the things I think the students found, at least I saw in my group, because that's all I can speak for, but through pictures, is that they found fun ways to use what they were good at, or they were just learning, some of them, what they were good at when it came to some of the stuff, and some of them may not have been the greatest at throwing paint out of the house. Some of these kids had more paint on them than they did on their houses, but they found they built a really good relationship with the resident or the resident's kids or something else that was happening there. And when you begin to see that, it begins to click with them. as far as what they're good at and how they can be used by Christ. And I think that's so important to being able to give. See, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm there in my brain, so we're going to go there. We think about giving and stewardship. It makes sense if you don't think about it. But we think about, you know, all these different things, and immediately when we think of giving, we automatically go to finances. Trust me, your teens don't have a lot of money. I know this because they tell me all the time. But they've got hands, and they've got feet, and they've got hearts that want to love like I've never seen, and they want to serve. And when they can give like that, they're being good stewards as well, and they're being found very faithful. So they find ways to do that. The very first thing, there's a leaders meeting right after we get there, and we kind of are explained by Jeff what's going to be happening, what the week looks like. And they specifically tell us not to show the students how overwhelmed we might be when we see our house for the first time. Like, don't say anything. Don't let them know you're freaking out. I didn't listen. We pulled up to the house. I think it was like 27 feet by 36 feet. It was this little farm. It wasn't so little, actually. Two stories. Dormer on one side, porch on the other. It was a lot to paint. And we pulled up. Actually, I drove by it the first time. So we turned around and came back in. And I looked and went, oh, no. And Natalie, who was in my crew, she was the oldest and was sitting shotgun. I looked at her and I said, I don't know how we're going to do this. She goes, shut up, we'll be fine. And so from the very beginning, I had their respect. And I made myself look like a really great leader. But it was a lot. And as we got started that day, Habitat for Humanity had already done scouting work, and they show what it is that you might have to do and how much of the house needs to be scraped and all this different stuff. And they told me about 20% of the house needed to be scraped. And they were wrong. We spent 2 days scraping and finally started painting on Wednesday. And I remember just going, I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do this. I had no strategy. I had no idea. And we got a lot farther than I thought. And just because of some of safety issues, we weren't able to get all the way done. Namely, I almost fell off the roof once. Just once, which is shocking in and of itself, if you know me at all. Even at times we didn't think we had the resources. There were crews who were like, we're not getting up to the 40-foot peak to paint. We don't want to do that. None of us are comfortable on the ladder. It's weird. I tried doing that, and I went up on the roof and hung over and tried to paint the soffits, and that didn't work well. But crews would pray, and groups of people from the community would show up and go, oh, we'll get the high stuff. Don't worry about it, and just took care of it. Like, when you don't know how and you don't have a strategy, God obviously does, and he took care of it. I even noticed it in the attitude in our students, but all the students, how those first couple days, those 6:30 wake-up calls were like, that was me. But, you know, they were a little slow getting up themselves, but by Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, these kids were ready to go before I think most of the leaders were. They were up, wanting to get to their sites and get their work done, and just, come on, let's do it, let's go, let's go. We gotta eat breakfast. Okay, let's eat breakfast. Let's go, let's get there. Like, they had totally been transformed from how are we gonna do this to why aren't we doing this now? Let's just get there, let's get done. And I was really proud of them for that. The last part are the promises that we see and that we get. And children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. How interesting that this is put in here with a couple of verses about building and toiling and laboring. See, I think that these students were rewarded very much in the work that they completed. To see the pride in their face when we talk about what they had done, what they had accomplished, just a crew of five or a crew of six. And for them to know that, you know, the Lord was with them the whole time and helping them. And the last night we were there, we do two programs. The first, we invite the residents to, the ones we helped. It's more evangelistic in nature. But to see the hugs and the people that came just saying, you were such a blessing, and the way they were touched was so cool. And the reward that there was in that, I think, for the students was beyond compared to anything else that we did. One of the promises, I think, is an understanding that they know they can be used and how. You know, it's been said here for as long as I've been a part of student ministries that students aren't just the future of the church. They are the present. They are the now. They are what makes things move and make things happen. Granted, you know, their means are a little bit different than some of ours are used to. And I mean, just if you had seen the classrooms by the end of the week, sometimes it means things get a little more messy. But they are the movers and they are the shakers. And they are the ones that make things happen, and especially when they understand the ways they can be used. And that's true for all of us. You'll see that in your own lives if you let that happen. And it's a testament to you as your parents and as members of Valley. The reward you should see, because all of us have collectively raised these children. That's just the way it works when you're a part of this. And you'll continue to see that as the young ones grow up here, that we all have a part in it. And we should all be very proud of the young men and women they're becoming, who they see themselves as in Christ. That was a really bad time to get my tongue all tied up. And I think the last thing we learn, before I get on to that, is that when you give of yourself, there's so much more room for you to be filled and you to grow when everything is said and done. You know, these kids gave of themselves from 8 till 5 every day, and then to come back and be able to be filled up with speaking and with worship is such a great way to grow as a believer. Because if you're giving of yourself or of your finances or whatever it might be, you're leaving room for the Lord to do more work. And I'm proud of them for that. And you should be too. If you want to know, the pictures on your left are the before pictures. The right is the after. And you can see some of the work that was done and what these kids accomplished. Often, motives aren't clear. And there may not be a specific plan for how to do something. But unless the Lord is with you, helping you along the way, your efforts might be in vain. You may feel like you're getting something done. What are you missing out on? Joel Johnson, the speaker, gave a talk the very first night. I don't know what it was about the first night that has stuck so clearly in my mind. Maybe it's because I wasn't exhausted. But he was talking about eternal life and how we often in the church view eternal life as quantity, as the amount of time. And you know how after we breathe our last here, there's eternity. And it's all about time and about how much we have. He changed it. He said, that might be true. But it is so much more about the quality of the life we have here. And I think that's something that really needs to hit home, is that when you're doing these things, not only students, did you change the quality of life for the residents? You were learned and you were motivated to give what you have. The quality of your life and how you live it and who you are in Christ is and will be drastically changed if you're giving of yourself in whatever way that looks like. We were motivated to build a better quality of life for 33 families. And they allowed the Lord to use them to be built, to change who they are. I can think of no better object lesson than these homes, who on the outside were very much transformed from what they were at the beginning to what they are after we left on Friday. And the same is true of all of us. We are always being transformed. That's the greatest promise of all, is that in Christ, he is constantly making us new, scraping off the old paint, getting rid of the rotten, moldy stuff, putting in the new stuff that makes us stronger. When we give of ourselves, sometimes without even knowing why or how, God uses it to make incredible things. Get up and go was the official theme. The unofficial theme for the week became a song that I think Phil played every time. Students, he makes what? Beautiful things out of whom? Us. Yeah. What a great promise for all of us as we give of ourselves. Just how beautiful he's making us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the hope we have in you, for the promises we have in you. Father, I thank you for everyone who's here, for what they give and what they continue to give to make a valley a place that is just beautiful. Father, may we take what we have here. May we apply it. May we learn from it. When things seem unclear, when we're not sure of our motives, when we're not even sure how we're going to do something, help us to not labor in vain, but to remember that you are in control of it all. You are building it. Father, help us to give more so that we have room for you to pour more in. We love you so much. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.